down a 5-4 in the seventh. Orioles on top of the Rays 3-1 in the seventh, while the Twins have a 4-1 edge on the Astros in the fifth.
Fox Sports update on the Right Choice KPRL, brought to you by Deeds Bar and Grill at the Paso Robles Golf Club. Great food, great view, great people. Prime Rib Monday, Taco Tuesday, specials on wine, and dinner specials Thursday through Saturday. Today in Farming on KPRL is brought to you by Paso Robles Glass, established in 1947, always up on the latest technology and training. They do windows right. Call Paso Robles Glass, 805-238-4014.
From the Ag Information Network, I'm Bob Larson with your agribusiness update. Well, every dollar spent on forest fuel treatment saves about $3.75 in wildfire damages, according to a new study of nearly 300 western U.S. fires led by University of California Davis researchers. The study estimates treatments such as forest thinning and prescribed burns prevented $2.8 billion in losses, reduced wildfire spread, and fire severity. UC Davis postdoctoral scholar Frederick Strabo says fuel treatments and forest management are critical underfunded public goods. While congressional negotiations over the next farm bill have intensified as lawmakers continue debating funding priorities, nutrition programs, and conservation spending tied to the legislation that shapes U.S. ag policy, House and Senate ag leaders are working to advance a new multi-year farm bill after repeated delays in recent years. Discussions have focused heavily on supplemental nutrition assistance program funding, crop insurance protections, and conservation initiatives important to farmers and ranchers. While the Trump administration is moving to increase flexibility for beef imports as U.S. cattle inventories remain near historic lows and retail beef prices continue climbing, some ranching groups warned additional imports could place downward pressure on domestic cattle markets and reduce profits for American producers already dealing with tight margins. Others say expanded imports may help processors and retailers maintain supplies during peak demand periods.
Activate your crop's defenses with Orbix from Helena. Orbix is a next-generation foliar nutritional that produces stronger, more productive crops by mitigating stress. It improves plant vitality with select plant extracts, high analysis NPK and micronutrients enhanced with the efficiency of ENC formulation technology. Unleash yield potential in your crops this season with Orbix. Contact your Helena representative or authorized dealer for more information. Always read and follow label instructions and check registration status before use.
Impressions. On social media, they're peddled for pennies on platforms like Facebook that can be biased, even censored. So what are you really getting for your advertising dollar? I invite you to join the Southeast Regional Ag News Radio program, where our impressions are priceless, where it's impossible to put a value on information that empowers farmers and ranchers. If you're a company that values the impression you have within our ag community, support this radio station by sponsoring the Southeast Regional Ag News program.
From the Ag Information Network, I'm Bob Larson with today's Agribusiness Update. Today in Farming on KPRL is brought to you by Paso Robles Glass, established in 1947, always up on the latest technology and training. They do windows right. Call Paso Robles Glass, 805-238-4014.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Stuart Varney, and this is the Fox Business Report.
The major averages are rallying as bond yields and oil prices fall, easing inflation worries. The Magnificent Seven big cap tech stocks are mostly higher, led by Tesla and Nvidia. And shares of Nvidia are up over 1% ahead of their big earnings release. That happens after the closing bell today, which will be a key test for the AI trade. An Intel stock is popping 6%, the chipmaker snapping its five-day losing streak on Tuesday, with its stock falling around 16% over the period. And the minutes from the Fed's late April meeting were released this afternoon, with the majority of officials anticipating that interest rate increases would be necessary if the Iranian war continues to stimulate inflation. And ChatGPT maker OpenAI is preparing to file for an initial public offering as soon as Friday, according to the Wall Street Journal. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
Most investments today feel like second jobs. Real estate? You're a landlord. Stocks? You're a day trader. Crypto? You're a full-time researcher. You've got a life to live. Your investment should help you live it. That's why more Americans are choosing gold. Noble Gold has helped thousands protect their future with real physical gold. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com to get your free wealth protection kit. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
American Legends next on KPRL. Brought to you by Davis Body Shop.
Welfare reform at the federal level is overdue, and we can learn something from over 400 years of English history on the subject. I'll be right back.
Reagan, in his own voice, is brought to you by K-Brush Concrete, serving the entire Central Coast for more than a decade. Call Kevin at K-Brush Concrete, 423-4033.
Yesterday, I spoke with the 62 congressmen, Democrats and Republicans, who are sponsoring federal welfare reform legislation. I suggested that they need our help. No right-thinking person questions our responsibility to lend less fortunate neighbors a hand. But we can't ignore any longer the harm we're doing to the very people we're trying to help. We can look to history for what might happen if we don't recognize what we're doing and where we're going. England embarked on its first welfare program in 1547. By the end of the 17th century, nearly a fifth of the English nation was receiving aid at least part of the time. The mayor of San Francisco has just announced that one out of four in that city is on welfare. In England, the dole was often three times as much as the laborer could afford for himself and his family. By the end of the 18th century, at a place called Speenham Land, they decided that wages below a certain level should be supplemented according to the price of bread and the number of children in the family. Sound familiar? In the next 20 years, the cost of the program doubled and redoubled until it was one-sixth of the total national expenditure. Some local governments went bankrupt. That's what our mayors are trying about now. Labor was demoralized, riots and fires swept the countryside. In 1832, a royal commission was appointed to study the problem. At the end of 2 years, the commission reported the worker need not bestir himself to work. So they recommended that relief should not be made more attractive than the pay for the most menial of jobs. They said, "We do not believe that a country in which every man, whatever his conduct or character, is insured a comfortable living, can retain its prosperity or even its civilization." In commenting on the social workers, they said, "Their feelings are all on one side. Their pity for the pauper excludes any for the taxpayer." They saw the problem as, quote, "how to afford the people relief without injury to their diligence or their providence," unquote. History does repeat itself. In 1969, the House Ways and Means Committee discovered the highest factor determining the size of the caseload was the size of the grant. When grant levels are too high, there is no incentive to work. Not only have we accepted the questionable premise that welfare is a right, we've carried that to the extreme of believing certain types of jobs are more disgraceful than welfare. It's time to disabuse ourselves of the idea that any job is somehow disgraceful or dishonorable. Some time back, a Rutgers University professor discovered what that English Royal Commission learned 150 years ago. He said, "The billions of dollars that are being spent on the urban poor by all levels of government go mainly to support a growing welfare bureaucracy, youth workers, clerks, supervisors, key punchers, and people's lawyers. The bureaucracy is sustained by the plight of the poor, the threat of the poor, the misery of the poor, but it yields little in the way of loaves and fishes to the poor. When the old programs demonstrably fail, they are rebaptized and refunded," unquote. 62 congressmen are proposing a way to change this. They need your help and your letters. This is Ronald Reagan. Thanks for listening.
Reagan in his own voice, brought to you by K Brush Concrete. Anything to do with concrete, from a 5x5 walkway to a 500,000 square foot foundation. Call 423-4033.
KPRL presents Sound Off, the longest-running radio talk show in San Luis Obispo County. Sound Off on the North County's choice for local talk, KPRL. The views and opinions expressed on Sound Off do not necessarily reflect those of KPRL, its management, staff, or sponsors.
Sound Off on AM 1230, KPRL, and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Davis Body Shop, your auto collision specialist in Paso Robles and Atascadero.
This is Sound Off, where the North County comes to talk on The Right Choice, KPRL.
Welcome to Sound Off. My name is Karen Veely, your host on Wednesday and Thursday afternoons. I'm also an investigative reporter for Cal Coast News. Go to Cal Coast News. There is no paywall. And today we're going to go over a lot of things to do with Paso Robles and North County. I have Paso Robles City Councilman Chris Bausch in the studio. Chris, thank you for coming in today.
My pleasure, Karen. Thanks for having me back.
And there's a lot going on.
Just a little.
Oh, there's a lot going on. For many of you that don't, one of the things we're going to start talking about is cannabis. And the reason this happened, for those that don't know, we're going back years ago, and I had written a story that the city was, that the Dubs Green Garden was delivering recreational when they were only allowed to do, only allowed to deliver medical. And the Tribune immediately attacked me. I have emails from the reporters. You need to admit he's allowed to do recreational. Look at the state website. Guess what, girls? I know that you're young and I know that you don't know how to read everything, but the state website, I called them. They say, well, we're allowing them to do recreational if the city's ordinance now says they cannot. And the change to allow recreational expired, they're not allowed to do it. And guess what? The city later admitted they weren't allowed to do it. I have multiple videos of them delivering recreational, even when they were told they were no longer allowed to do it. I have receipts where they were not filled out correctly. There was a lot of things that were not done to code. And at that time, the police department kind of wasn't doing anything. In the beginning, I had the people on the halls on my show, and they were complaining on how strict the police department was, how they had video cameras and they were watching everything that they did. But then remember the conspiracy, the Ty Lewis conspiracy. So you had this claim, Ty Lewis wanted money and he couldn't get, he wasn't going to get accepted for a payout. And then suddenly his only witnesses were, guess what? The Halls. They were the only witnesses to a conspiracy to try to put him out of office. And right after that, suddenly there is no oversight over the Halls. And there was a push at that point to give them a retail cannabis store. Then you had Linda George get very aggressive and say, you can't get, and I had found this and I shared it with her. These guys don't pay their taxes. They had so many tax liens, they had dozens. They don't pay their cannabis tax. They didn't pay other taxes. They had tax liens going back more than a decade. So you had a lot of issues with covering their bills. Linda George then ran with that and they tried to get a restraining order against her to stop her from talking about their business. In the end, the judge, it all got thrown out but it was a ridiculous restraining order. You don't get a restraining order because somebody is pointing out that you're not properly doing your business. And when you have a business and everyone that wanted, the whole reason the city council was pushing cannabis was for tax revenue. And you had several of the council members saying, we need to give it to the halls because they've been around the longest. And we need the tax revenue. Well, guess what? If you're not paying your taxes, you're not doing a lot of benefit to the community. But all of a sudden, this appears to have gone to the wayside. Basically, all the evidence of a conspiracy was not there. There was a lot of things going on that were not there. But the city now brought back cannabis and had it on the agenda last night. Interesting enough, they're not pushing a retail store. They are pushing a way to have multiple different businesses deliver cannabis legally and to pay their taxes and to have business licenses. I'm going to let Chris explain what happened last night and how he thinks it's going to do for the city.
Well, thank you, Karen. City Council actually asked that this be brought back. It's been kind of an ongoing saga ever since the voters legalized medical marijuana and then legalized adult use cannabis. As you know, there are dispensaries in some cities in throughout San Luis Obispo County. Some citizens desired to have dispensaries in Paso Robles. City Council decided not to have dispensaries, decided at first just to try medical use cannabis delivery service. And so they limited that to three delivery services. Then it was discussed, well, what about, since that worked out so well, what if we expanded that to have adult use cannabis delivery? So that's where we're at last night. There are still some folks that would like to see the dispensaries, but we're not there yet. The only thing that was discussed last night, the staff brought back, was a discussion for the delivery. Since it's legal throughout the state of California for anyone that has a license from the state to deliver within Paso Robles, we should probably license that as well. So that was the discussion last night. So to make that happen, four things were recommended last night to City Council. A resolution repealing Resolution 22-144, removing the current limitation on the number of permitted adult-use cannabis non-storefront retailers and eliminating the designation of specifically named operators.
And I think that is fabulous, and I'll tell you why. You had people delivering here. If they have a business license here, it's going to be easier to track and get your taxes paid. And if they can already do it, isn't it better to have a business license and
let me continue. There's a difference between a business license and what I'm going to talk about next.
Okay.
Second, amendments to Chapter 21.6 of the Municipal Code to remove the existing cap on the number of permitted non-storefront cannabis businesses within the city. And then to your point, number three, amendments to Title V, Permits and Regulation, establishing a requirement, and this would be new, that all businesses operating within the city obtain and maintain a cannabis regulatory permit. So the cannabis regulatory permit is new.
And will that help the city make sure that they're getting the tax revenue they're due for sales in their city?
As long as the operator is honest and above board, it's theoretically yes. In the past, for the three licensees for medical delivery, the planning department or planning commissioner's cited a conditional use permit in order to get a license to deliver pot. The problem with that is it goes with the land and not with the operator. So there's very little oversight that could be done. If somebody went out of business, they could sell that that building or lease it out, and then the next person could come in and slam bam, they could start selling cannabis and delivering it based on that conditional use permit. Well, that will go away now. So you'll have to apply for not only all of the regulations that you have to do through the state, but you'll also have to do this through the city of Paso Robles vis-a-vis this cannabis regulatory permit. And then you'll have to go through a background check, among other things. And if there are felonies in your past, you won't qualify for this permit. And then one last thing, then we can discuss all four. Amendments requiring existing holders of a conditional use permit authorized for medical cannabis delivery who also intend to conduct adult use cannabis delivery operations to apply for, and they must now obtain an amendment to their existing conditional use permit to obtain a cannabis regulatory permit.
And I will tell you, I'm looking at the finances of the city. I'm looking at the city wanting to do roads. And a lot of the arguments for having more cannabis in the city has been the tax revenue. And what many people do not realize, the tax isn't the same. Medical marijuana is a much lower tax than recreational cannabis. So having them doing recreational cannabis as recreational cannabis, there's going to be more tax revenue to the city.
I don't want to be a Debbie Downer, pun intended. There's not going to be a whole lot of revenue. It's kind of like lottery money for education. It's surprisingly low. After all of the great estimates of how much money this was going to bring in, it really, at the end of the day, isn't as much as people think. And the regulatory cost and the oversight cost is high. Yeah, it's going to cost us money to make sure that people are actually remitting those taxes. And you alluded to that earlier. It's easy to not turn those taxes in, and very little, it's hard to go out and collect it.
And when cannabis first became legal, there were certain areas, for example, Grover Beach was bringing in a nice chunk of money. Santa Barbara was bringing in some, county was bringing in some nice money. Guess what? Last time I watched a county supervisor meeting about cannabis in Santa Barbara, they're now losing money. So a lot of times the tax, but you still don't want to lose money. You've got to have enough tax revenue, hopefully, to make it not a losing. The county of San Luis Obispo, we subsidize cannabis sales in the county. So it isn't the big chunk of money. You're absolutely correct.
The operators of these stores applied, I believe, to the county of San Luis to lower the tax collected. It was too high of a rate. And so it's a work in progress. We'll see how it all goes.
And was it contentious, or was it, it seems like the city is running a little bit nicer than it did 2 years ago. It seems like people are a little bit more, I don't see the ruckuses at the meetings that I saw before.
I think last night was a good example. After a small little hiccup in getting started, the meeting proceeded very, very well. The discussion that could have gone either way, this was towards the end of the meeting, it was getting late in the evening, it could have gone either way. It was very positive. We had a great discussion on the dais, great presentation from staff, Katie Bannister and Warren Frace, answered our questions. We still call him our new city manager. He's been on the job for about a year now, answered our questions. city attorney Elizabeth Hull answered our questions. There was a another attorney from BBK Online was asked one question. It was a good portion of the meeting. The rest of the meeting went really well too. So I think both staff, council, city administration, and the constituents, yes, much better.
And I was told it was announced that the Halls have now, I think they paid their taxes in March and they're caught up.
That's what we were told last night. They're all current on all of their taxes.
And is staff going to be more diligent in making sure they pay in the future?
Well, not just the Halls, but anybody that delivers. Mr. Hewitt, our city manager, mentioned a site that tracks cannabis deliveries. I'm trying to recall the name of it. I don't remember now. But apparently, there's like everything, you can figure it out online. Who delivers cannabis in Paso Robles, medical or adult use? And if they're delivering here, we should be getting taxes from them. And so we need to go ask them, where's our check? That's part of compliance. Apparently, we can't force them to file a bit for a business license or a cannabis regulatory permit, but we're certainly going to try.
And I noticed that when you were having the meetings before, you had a delivery service cannabis from Napomo, and they claimed that more than, he thought it was about 80% of all the cannabis tax was coming from his business.
I think that number was 60%.
60?
If I recall correctly. And that was shocking, I think, to all of us, that he knew how much tax was being paid, and he knew, just from extrapolation, that if he was paying X, that he was responsible for remitting 60%. So he said, he told us that we were missing out a huge chunk of money.
And I think that's important that you're working, especially with those that do comply. But I think it's, so right now, everyone has a chance to do what they, to work with the city.
Yes.
And you're going to leave it open to anyone.
Well, right. You have to apply for a business license. You have to apply for the cannabis regulatory permit. You need to make sure that you're licensed with the state. All of those have to come into compliance. This will come back to the city council. We estimate in about 60 to 90 days, we'll have a final look at what the application will look like. We'll approve it then, and then city staff will be able to start processing those permits.
So that probably 90 days to 120, you'll have this all buttoned up and over with.
That's a reasonable estimate, yes.
And so the staff is doing a good job in getting it together.
Yes. So this went through the planning department, through the we'll have kind of a vetting back and forth, and I was asked on the way over here, what happened to our retail shops? That is a discussion for another day. That might come back, but it's not going to be part of this discussion.
And again, cannabis has really changed. When it first came out, there were, a retail shop would make you millions. You got a permit for one, you could sell it for $20 million. And then you got into it a couple, two, 3 years, and you had people closing them. A bunch closed in Sacramento. They were losing money. There's a lot of crime involved, a lot of theft.
Well, we have a consultant called HDL. In fact, they might even be based out of Sacramento. and that was one of the recommendations. We limited to three operators, and that was a mistake. It created this quasi-exclusivity that created an entitlement mentality that really shouldn't exist. Creating more is better, especially when it comes to competition, better service, lower prices. We heard a discussion, I don't think it was last night, but sort of in the run-up to this, that it's too expensive. Delivery services cost too much. Well, if you have a whole lot of them, maybe that price for delivery will start to come down.
We're going to take a break, a word from our sponsors, and we'll be back with more with Chris Bausch.
If you ever have an accident, just where do you take your vehicle for top-notch repair? I could tell you, but isn't it better to hear from past Davis Body Shop customers? Here's what Kim M. from Atascadero had to say.
What an amazing team. I could not have asked for better service, and my car looked as good as new when they were finished. Patrick took care of me from day one, always keeping me updated about the process and their speedy timeline. I highly recommend them to all my friends and family. Excellent job.
Scott from Atascadero had this to say.
Great body shop. I was hit by another vehicle and took my truck to Davis. The work was done over a month ago and the repair work still looks great. No hidden problems. The truck left Davis in better condition than before the accident. Thanks to Tim and Patrick for all the extra work. It's really appreciated.
And that's why Davis Body Shop is the largest auto body collision specialist in San Luis Obispo County with two locations. On El Camino Real, Atascadero, and on Theater Drive at Paso Chevrolet.
Hi, it's Brian Carroll from A1 Glass. Get rewarded when you upgrade to Milgard windows and doors and earn up to $100 back per patio door and up to $40 back per Milgard window. Enjoy better comfort, energy efficiency, a home that looks incredible, and huge savings. Don't wait, the spring sales event ends June 8th. Plus, A1 Glass is your local family-owned award-winning team, voted best on the Central Coast. A1 Glass, for all your glass needs.
Qualifying Milgard products only. Rewards issued as electronic gift cards. See A1 Glass for details.
Eric Church, live in concert. And I have the time. At the California Mid-State Fair. Oh, Saturday, July 18th. Yeah, you're out there now. You got get tickets now at midstatefair.com.
Having a record year.
Funny how melody sounds.
Don't miss Eric Church.
Pulled out drinking.
Saturday, July 18th at the California Mid-State Fair.
Do you remember that great Stein's Deli in Atascadero that had those amazing bagels? They're selling wholesale all over the place. Your kids are eating them at the schools and even at Valley Fresh Market. Now you can buy the bagels every Saturday morning from 8 to noon at their commercial kitchen, 2917 Union Road, Suite G in Paso Robles, just off Golden Hill. Order the Big Apple with lox and cream cheese or the Bacon and Egg Cheese Bagel, or just pick up a dozen great bagels. Follow them on Facebook or call ahead to order at 805-975-5520. 5520.
Welcome back to Sound Off. My name is Karen Vealy, your host on Wednesday and Thursday afternoons. And we're going to go over a number of things with Chris Bausch today. Chris Bausch is on the Paso Robles City Council. And how long have you been on the council?
I'm coming up on 4 years.
And do you see it, how do you see it running compared to 4 years ago?
I thought that 4 years ago the city council was just nice, benign, everything was smooth. Once I got on city council, I discovered it was not quite as rosy a picture as I had been led to believe. So I'm not really quite sure how to answer that question. I think it's much better today than it was 4 years ago.
Welcome to Sound Off. What would you like to ask Chris today?
Hi, this is Linda George. I just wanted to say that that was a really, I have to say, out of all the policies that I've seen out of the city, that probably has to be one of the better ones and a super great foundation for the future. I, too, was kind of surprised. I was prepared to hire a bodyguard yesterday, but I was surprised that there wasn't that much backlash. The urge to hurry up and fix it, for as far as the halls are concerned, I feel like that's a chapter of my life over now that they know one of my goals was to make sure they didn't get the first storefront. And, you know, frankly, not really do cannabis business here at all. So I think, you know, I agree with you, Mr. Bausch, that the regulatory was probably one of the most brilliant because that makes sure that everybody is has their background checks and are compliant because that's all I was really sounding the alarm about was how they were so non-compliant. And I, too, submitted evidence to the judge that they were delivering with recreational when they weren't supposed to. So I just wanted to chime in and say, like, overall, it was a really great job. It's a great policy.
I think this goes hand in hand with, and curiously enough, same department, with if anybody's been following our housing situation, a lot of changes need to be done there in our food truck situation. So hats off to Warren Frace and to Piper Smith, to Katie Bannister. They are just a really smart, smart team, and they're looking at our existing policy. They are listening to the city council, listening to our citizens, and they are crafting, or perhaps I should say, recrafting solutions that fit a modern day situation much better than some of these policies that are 10, 15 years old or older.
Correct.
So I'm really happy that we have that team in place, and I look for good things to come.
Me too. And, you know, I can answer to the less drama at the city council meetings. You know, Chris Hewitt has done a really good job at focusing the council, you know, with the goals and all that stuff. There's supposed to be a repeat tonight. I think I got had the first time. I'm not sure if I'm going to be there a second time. But I think it's very important that the goals that Chris, well, since he's been city manager, he's just really focused the staff. He's really focused the council. He's really focused where the city is going. And, of course, I've been a government worker my whole life, and I have to concede at this point. I've always complained about their high salaries, but they're very, very well-trained people, and they handle a lot for what they do. Well, but I have to echo good for Warren and the gang. Go ahead.
Well-trained. On a more positive note, very, very well-educated. They stay abreast on updates, seminars, the management seminars and institute that Mr. Hewitt belongs to. That's an intense amount of hours that he devotes not only to his regular, air quotes, day job, but staying abreast of all the things that are changing throughout society. We are very blessed to have a great city manager at this point, and Mr. Malowitz, the assistant city manager, as well. I will say before we get too far afield from this, one other topic that needs to be updated, and I think it's already being undertaken. More about this perhaps later, but this came up in one of the lawsuits was the city council policy manual. That too has to be updated, and that is going to be taken care of here in the next year, I hope.
And I thank you very much for calling in.
Yeah.
We're going to take
amazing
a
job.
We're going to take thank our you, top Linda. Of the outer hour break and be back with more with Chris Bausch.
AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.
It's 1 o'clock.